Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies and compassions toward us. Thank you for your help and interventions that we have experienced and have received. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word that produces light, illumination, understanding, and revelations in our souls. Thank you for a lot of freedom we have received through the revelation of your word. Thank you for so many breakthroughs and deliverances your word have performed in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for how you helped us throughout last year to learn a lot from your word, from your scriptures. We are so grateful for that. And we know that you're going to help us even today and even in this new year to know more of your word, to know more of your will, and your ways that are revealed in the Bible. Thank you, Lord. I ask, O Lord, that you minister life and strength and faith and revival into every life right here this evening. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that you will not leave here the same way you have come. You will not leave this meeting the same way you have come. The Lord shall bless your soul. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. I'm going to be moving very fast. I want to be able to finish this topic sooner so that we can move to a new topic. We have been looking at persecution, and we talked on several topics and subtopics. The last, the last subtopic we've been looking at is the one of persecution usually begins with verbal attacks. And we stopped at the teachings where I mentioned about character assassination and also accusations of being of the devil. Yeah, those are part of verbal attacks. Now we're going to continue from there. I believe all of you have a book and pen where you jot all these points and scripture verses. You know, so that you can go over the teachings on your own, when you are alone. to reflect on what you have learned and to go to meditate more on the teachings. Yeah. If you don't have the book and the pen, make sure you get it. It's very important. Yeah, it will help you to learn faster. Yeah, so make sure you take note of every point. Even if you, I know of someone that they would even write word for word what the preacher is saying. Yeah, word for word, more like the way they take notes in the class. Yeah, and they know why they are writing down what the preacher or the teacher is saying word for word. Yeah, it will help them to remember everything that was said, and it will help them to really to really get the revelation and the transformation that follows the revelation. So the next point is charges of religious insanity. This is another way through which persecutors attack Christians. They charge Christians of religious insanity, charges of religious insanity. So what this means is that they start to call you a madman because of what you believe and because of your testimony of Jesus Christ and because of your faith. They start to call you an insane person, a mad person. Yeah, some people will use the word like, or they will use words like a fanatic. Yeah, I don't know the kind of words they use, but the unbelievers, they can come up with charges of insanity. They may say you have a mental problem. Yeah, because you're trying to tell them of spiritual things. Then they tell you you have a mental problem. Or because you're trying to show them the possibility of miracles, and then they tell you that you are insane because whatever you are saying is not possible according to science or according to human rational reasoning. Yeah, so let us look at Mark chapter 3, verse 21. Mark open your Bibles to Mark 3:21. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. Yeah. Maybe I should read further. Verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he had Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casted he out devils. Yeah. So even the friends of Jesus, they thought he was mad. Yeah, because they couldn't believe in his message. They couldn't believe in him. Yeah, I want you to look at that verse 21 again. It says, and when his friend heard of it, and when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he's beside himself. Let us look at it in New Living Translation. Mark 3 verse 21. In this translation, they even use the word his family, not even his friends. Mark 3 verse 21. In this NLT, it says, when his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they said. You can see. New Living Translation put it as his family, whereas King James Version put it as his friends. Yeah. So whether friends or family, you know, these were people who knew Jesus from his childhood. Yeah, they knew him as he was growing up. So they knew so many things about him. Yeah, but now suddenly they were hearing about his preachings, his teachings, and the miracles he performs, and that he was making claims that he is the Son of God. Yeah, so they've heard a lot about him, and they concluded that this guy must be mad. Yeah. They concluded that he must be mad. Yeah. They said, you know, to the point that they wanted to kind of grab him. Yeah. They wanted to kind of grab him and maybe take him to somewhere for therapy. Yeah, maybe for psychotherapy or whatever. So it says when his family heard what was happening, they tried to take him away. He's out of his mind, they say. And then verse 22, but the teachers of religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said, is possessed by Satan, the prince of demons. That's where he gets the power to cast out demons. So you can see all these accusations that was brought upon Jesus. Yeah. So my point is that when you go all out for Jesus, and you go all out to serve Jesus, and to preach Jesus, and to witness Jesus, and to testify of Jesus to every creature, the people of the world, and call you a madman. Yeah. So, and if they do that, don't be offended, and don't be angry, because it's a normal thing. Yeah, persecution is a normal thing to the Christian faith. Yeah, and you should be encouraged, because they did the same thing to Jesus himself. And it was not just anyhow people who called him a mad person. It was his own family, his own friends, who were accusing him of insanity. Yeah, so they accused even Apostle Paul and even the apostles, I mean the other apostles, of insanity too. Yeah, because they felt they are speaking of things that doesn't make sense, or things that are not real. Yeah, so let us look at another scripture. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, verse 24. And as he does speak for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." Yeah, so this was coming from an unbeliever to Paul, to Apostle Paul. Yeah, while Paul was speaking about his faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, this man suddenly shouted and said, "Paul, you are mad, because you have studied too much of the scriptures. So and those knowledge has made you mad." Yeah. But we know that Paul wasn't mad. They just couldn't receive the revelation he was sharing with them. And I've said it before that there are some things that I have known about God and his kingdom that I can't say to anyone. Yeah, because it's not going to make sense. Yeah. And they will be calling me the same name they called Paul in this verse. Yeah, they will be calling me a mad person. Yeah. So, another thing to learn from this verse is that you should know who to share your revelations with, and where to actually share them. I'm not saying that Paul was making a mistake here, because don't forget, in this passage, they invited him to speak for himself. That is, to defend himself, because he was arrested on several charges by the Jews. Yeah. So, and he had to tell them everything, even though he knew that it wouldn't make sense to them, but he had no choice than to tell them everything about his faith. Yeah. Yeah, but my point is that through the wisdom of God, you should know where to share your revelation. and would we share your revelations with? Yeah, because some people, there's no way they will understand the things that God has shown you. It will not make sense to them. Yeah, and some revelations should not even be said at all. They should be with you till you will go back to God, till you will return to heaven or ascend to heaven. Yeah, some revelations are not meant to be shared with anyone. Yeah. Even Paul the Apostle wrote about certain things that was shown to him when he was caught up into heaven. And he said that it is unlawful to speak those things to human beings on earth. Yeah, so he didn't share those things. He may have shared some in his letters, but he didn't share everything he saw. Yeah, so don't talk to people about spiritual things. You know that there's no way they can receive it or believe it. Talk to them things that you know they need for them to repent and become converted to Christianity. So instead of sharing deep revelations to people that are unbelievers, people that don't know, God, people that are sinners and enemies of God, instead of you sharing deep revelations with them, the best thing you should share with them is the message of the of salvation. Yeah, which is simple. That one is easy for everyone to understand. Yeah, the message of salvation is very easy for anyone to understand, even for a 5-year-old or 3-year-old to understand. Yeah, but there are some deep revelations that only the mature ones can understand. Only those who are spiritual and understand. So don't bother sharing things that are too high for the minds of certain people around you. Except maybe you felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to still go ahead and share those things with them, whether it will make sense to them or not. Yeah, except in that case you can share. Now let us continue. Let us move to another point. Persecution through fear of society's disapproval. Persecution through fear of society's disapproval. The previous point was charges or religious insanity. Charges of religious insanity. Then the next one we are looking at now is persecution through fear of society's disapproval. Yeah. Fear of being segregated by the society, or being disapproved by the society, being labeled as a strange person by the society, or being labeled as a bad person by the society. So the fear of being rejected by the society is also persecution on its own. Yeah. the fear of being rejected, being disapproved, being labeled as a bad person by the society is also persecution on its own. Let us look at John chapter 9, verse 22. John chapter 9, verse 22. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. In this place, Jesus healed a boy that was born blind and opened his eyes. And the religious leaders were trying to find out about the miracle. They're trying to verify if the miracle was real. They wanted to be sure if the boy was actually born blind before Jesus healed him. So they began to ask the boy a lot of questions, and then later they started to ask the boy's parents a lot of questions. But the parents were scared to speak in a way of confessing that Jesus is the Christ. Yeah, the parents were fearful. Yeah, the parents were afraid of talking or of responding to their questions in a way that will reveal that they believe Jesus as the Christ. And why were they fearful? Because they don't want to be thrown out of the synagogue. Yeah, because the law was that anyone who confessed that Jesus is the Christ will be thrown out of the synagogue. And that can be very serious. Yeah, because usually during the Sabbath days, the Jews, they gather together in the synagogue to hear the scriptures being read out loud to them. Yeah, so it's a way of everyone getting together. It's a way of everyone associating with every Jew associating with one another. Yeah, so they have this fear that if I identify with this man called Jesus Christ, and then they throw me out of the synagogue, I can't bear that shame. Yeah, I can't bear that shame. Yeah, because I will now look like an outcast. Yeah. I will now become the topic on the lips of everyone in the society. So they don't want to go through that kind of shame. So they were scared. And do you know that Jesus had a lot of secret disciples? People who really believed in him, but they were not identifying with him publicly because of this fear of being disapproved by the society. So Jesus had a lot of politicians. I mean, in those days, Jesus had a lot of politicians, a lot of military personnel, and a lot of very rich and influential people who actually believed in him. In fact, even a lot of religious leaders who actually believed in him, but they couldn't identify with him in the public because they were afraid of being disapproved by the society. And even today, we still have people like that. Yeah, but Jesus said something. Maybe I should read that place for you. You know, Jesus said, if any man is ashamed of him here on earth, he said he will also be ashamed of that person in the kingdom of his Father. Let us look at him. Ashamed. I'm trying to pull up that scripture so that you can see why it's not enough to be a secret disciple. If indeed you believe in Jesus, you have to identify with him in the public. So there's nothing like you being a secret disciple of Jesus. If you're a secret disciple of Jesus, you have to show it also in the public that you are a disciple of Jesus. Let us look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my word, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Yeah, can you see that? Yeah, Jesus said, anyone that will be ashamed of him and of his words here on earth, he will be ashamed of that person when his kingdom finally comes. Yeah, you may be asking, what does it mean for Jesus to be ashamed of someone? Yeah, what it means is that why Jesus would be in his kingdom and not just in his kingdom, but in the glory of God and in the glory of the angels, he would look at these people. I mean, people who were ashamed of him, he will look at them in hell. Yeah, because eventually they would be in hell or in the lake of fire. Yeah, and when he sees them, he will remember how they had done some good things. Yeah, for him. But because they didn't do everything that he has commanded them to do, he will be ashamed to even look at them. Yeah, that's what it means. Yeah, though he would remember them. Yeah, he would remember what those people did for him. That is, the good works they did. Yeah, but he will not be able to look at their sins. Yeah, because they didn't do well. Though they did many good things but they didn't do well because they were ashamed of him when they were unheard. A lot of things they were supposed to do, they didn't do it because they were ashamed of identifying with him in the public. Yeah. So if you are here and it's hard for you to identify publicly with Jesus, then you have to repent, because you will not make heaven. Yeah, because that means you don't actually believe in Jesus. Yeah, if you cannot publicly testify of Jesus, publicly identify with Jesus, publicly hear your salvation story, how you got saved, how you were once a sinner, how you were once under the bondage of the enemy, and then how you were saved by Jesus, how you repented and became saved and born again. If you cannot publicly tell the world those things, then it means whatever salvation you claim you have is not real. Because if it is real, you will share it in the public. You will speak about it boldly in the public before the eyes of everyone. Yeah. So if your faith in Jesus is real, then you will take it to the public. You will show it in the public. You will demonstrate it in the public. You will confess it in the public. You will testify of it in the public if it is real. Yeah, so that is why those that are ashamed of identifying with Jesus in the public platforms cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, because it shows that whatever salvation they have or they had is fake. Yeah. If you can speak publicly about your academic qualification, and then you can say it in the public, I'm an accountant. I'm a lawyer. I'm a medical personnel. Yeah. And then you can't also say it boldly in the public that I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I've been redeemed, I am born again, I've been delivered from sin. Yeah, I am free from sin. And now I have the Spirit of God in me. If you cannot say those, if you can't speak those words in the public, it means whatever Christianity you are doing is fake. I'm telling you, that is what it means. Yeah. As I said, I want us to move very fast. So now let's look at John chapter 12, verse 42. John 12:42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, can you see that? Because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Yeah, so even the rulers believed him, the elders, among the people, they believe in Jesus. Yeah, because they have read the scriptures and they have seen that whatever this man is doing can only be done by the Messiah, by the Son of God. So many of them believed because they were touched by the Holy Spirit in their heart, and they were convinced that Jesus is truly the Son of God. But because of fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They did not identify with Jesus in the public. I pray you will not be like that. I pray you will not be crippled by fear of what people will say or think about you in Jesus' name. So now we're going to move to another subtopic, which is persecution from family and friends. That is point number 6, persecution from family and friends. Yeah, I'm going to try to rush this because we have a lot of scriptures under this point. Let us look at Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 6. For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called the multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Yeah. So you should expect persecution from your family members and friends. Yeah. You should expect to be betrayed and to be persecuted and to be humiliating and offending by your family members. Yeah. Do you know that many of the brothers, I think it was only the mother of Jesus that really believed on Jesus. And I think Jesus had some siblings, maybe five siblings. Many of those siblings did not even many, all of them did not believe in Jesus. All of the siblings of Jesus, that is, the other children that was given birth to by Mary, the mother of Jesus. None of them believed in Jesus. None of them. Yeah. It was after he rose from the grave that some of them now believed, and maybe all of them, I don't know. But we saw in the scriptures that two of his siblings believed, but it was after Jesus had rose from the grave. Yeah, so it took them to see the resurrection of Jesus before they could agree that he was actually the Messiah. Yeah, those two were Jude and James. Yeah, and it is that James that wrote the book of James in the Bible. That James was one of the siblings of Jesus. The James that wrote the book of James in the Bible was not a disciple of Jesus. That James was one of the siblings of Jesus. And then Jude too, the person who wrote the book of Jude, was also one of the siblings of Jesus. So those two, I don't know about the rest, those two believed Jesus after they saw him rose from the dead. But before he died, they did not believe. Yeah, they did not believe. And they were against him. You can see we read where they called him a mad person. Yeah. So, you should expect a persecution from your family members, your relatives, your friends, and even from your neighbors. And let us look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 21. Matthew chapter 10, verse 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Yeah, Jesus was talking about what will happen. Yeah, what will happen to his followers after he would have returned back to heaven. Yeah, he was saying that brother will deliver his fellow brother to be put to death during persecution. Father would deliver his child to be killed. Yeah, and children will rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. So these are the things that will happen during persecution. Yeah, because these people, they don't care that they share the same blood with you. Yeah, they don't care. In as much as they try to persuade you to dance to their tune, and you refuse, they don't mind delivering you up to the persecutors. Yeah, that is the case where maybe the government is persecuting Christians, or some group of people are persecuting Christians. You will see a brother handing over his blood brother to be killed by the persecutors. Yeah, and in fact, in some cases, brother would even be the one to kill the fellow brother, not even hand the person over. Yeah. In fact, in some cases, the parents will kill their children because the children refuse to serve the idol or the other god. The god they were serving. Yeah, so some people are ready to kill even their own siblings and children and parents in order to show their commitment to Satan. Yeah, so we've seen parents sacrificing their children to Satan. Because the children will not agree to serve Satan together with them. So they would sacrifice the child to Satan. I mean, when I mean sacrifice, they will kill the child. and offer the blood at the altar of Satan. Yeah, so these things happen in persecution. Let us also look at the same Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 to 36. Okay, maybe I should read from verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law. 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Yeah, you can see Jesus said he has not come to send peace on earth. Yeah, but today some people are trying to make peace. I mean, some Christians are trying to make peace with unbelievers. Now, I'm not saying we should be fighting the unbelievers, but I'm saying the kind of peace Jesus was talking about here is a form of agreement or unity that is contrary to righteousness, that is contrary to the truth. Yeah. So the Bible also told us to follow peace, with all men. Yeah, that kind of peace is different from the one Jesus was talking about here. Yeah, in fact, Jesus said we should become peacemakers. Yeah, the peace Jesus was talking about here is the form of agreement and unity that is against righteousness, that is against faith, and against the truth. Yeah, but today you see some Christians uniting with unbelievers on ground that are against righteousness. Yeah, on matters, on issues that are against righteousness. And they will be partnering and uniting with unbelievers on such ground. Yeah, don't do that. And if you have done that, you have to break such agreement. I mean, if any of you here have united yourself with unbelievers on grounds that are against the will of God, on grounds that are against righteousness, make sure you disconnect yourself from those people. Yeah, because you have failed as a Christian if you dare do that, if you dare unite with unbelievers. You are uniting with them in their sin instead of you to stand against their sin. Yeah, and then you are agreeing with them in their sins. If you agree with them in their sinful ways, it means you are one of them. Yeah, some people will say, I'm not the one collecting the bribe. What I do is just that. I tell them where to pay the bribe, who to bribe. Yeah, but I'm not the one collecting the bribe. So if you are telling them, you are showing them who to bribe so that they can have their way, then you are in partnership with the bribe. You're in partnership with the corruption if you are the one recommending who should be bribed. Yeah, then you're together with the bribery and corruption. Yeah. So whether you are directly involved or not directly involved, in as much as you are in agreement and partnership with unbelievers on grounds of sin and unrighteousness, then you are just like them. I pray you will not be like them. In Jesus' name. Yeah. The kind of peace Jesus was talking about here is that there will be disagreement between parents and their children. There will be disagreement, there will be disunity between brother and brother, sister and sister, daughter-in-law and mother-in-law. Yeah, because of the matters of righteousness and obeying the word of God. Yeah, that was why Jesus said he has not come to send peace on earth. Yeah, because he knows that there's no way Christians would practice righteousness without disagreement and disunity with those that are in love with unrighteousness. I don't know if I get my point. But Jesus knew that there's no way Christians will please God on earth without them having to disagree with many people around them. Yeah, without them having to offend many people around them. Yeah, especially people who want them to not do the will of God. Yeah. So Jesus expects that many friendships be cancelled and terminated on the ground of you practicing righteousness. So Jesus expects that many parents would have to disown their children or would have to take away their children. And many children would have to leave their parents because of the demand of heaven on Christians to do the will of God. I don't know if I get my point, but it is expected that there will be separation among family members. It is not a wrong thing. Yeah, it is not a wrong thing. Yeah, because some Christians, they feel like, oh, I don't want my parents to be sad. I don't want my parents to feel bad. Yeah, that is why I decided to do what they asked me to do, even though I know that what they asked me to do is contrary to the word of God. Yeah, they will say, I don't want my parents to feel bad. Some friends would say, I don't want my friends to feel bad. Yeah. Jesus wants you to make people feel bad. I don't know if I get to my point. It doesn't matter who they are. In as much as they don't wants you to do the will of God. Jesus wants you to disagree with them and disconnect from them. Yeah, if necessary. Yeah, of course, you can disagree with some people and not really disconnect with them. But sometimes you may have to both disagree and disconnect with people who are not comfortable with your decision to follow Jesus and to please God. Yeah. So you may have to both disagree and disconnect from them. Yeah. So my point is that don't think it's a wrong thing to disagree even with your parents and blood relatives or siblings on matters that has to do with the word of God and the righteousness of God. Yeah, it is very right to disagree. Yeah, that was why Jesus said, "You have not come to send peace on earth." So Jesus is looking for trouble by coming into the world to establish the kingdom of God on earth. It means he wants trouble on earth. And you as a child of God, you should be ready for those troubles. Now, troubles like you having to make many people feel bad because you will not agree with them on committing sin. Yeah, and even if they try to force you, you still refuse. So these are the kind of trouble I'm talking about here. I'm not saying if you start fighting people. No, but I'm saying people would pick up fight with you because you refused to dance to their tune. They will pick up fight with you. Yeah. And even your parents and siblings can be in that category. Or maybe another way is when you try to reach out to them, when you try to preach the gospel to them, they can also pick up fight with you. Yeah. So that kind of trouble is acceptable. Yeah. I believe you understand the trouble that Jesus has come to do on earth. Yeah. The trouble of disagreement. The trouble of causing disagreement, causing persecution. Not that you go and fight people and not that kind of trouble. Yeah, so be ready to offend people. Yeah, and also be ready to get offended when it comes to the matters of righteousness and pleasing God. Take note of what I said. Number one, be ready to offend people. And number two, be ready to be offending. Yeah, but you know that when you're offending, you can't retaliate and you can't fight back. You have to forgive. Yeah. So, your Christian faith must cause trouble. If it has not yet caused trouble, maybe your Christian faith is not real. Yeah. So there are people that should be offended as you made up your mind to do what is right. There are people that should be offended by you. And there are people that would also come to offend you. Yeah, so we should be ready for such kind of offenses. Yeah. I pray that the Lord will help you. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at. Okay, I think we've read that one. Mark 3 verse 21. Now let's look at Mark 6 verse 4. Mark 6 verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Yeah, that confirms our topic that says persecution from family and friends. Usually, your family may not really believe in your calling. Yeah, that doesn't mean you should not believe in yourself. Even your children may not believe in your calling. Your spouse may not really believe in your calling. Your brothers and sisters may not believe in your calling, but you should not, because of that, doubt the authenticity of your calling. Let us also look at Luke chapter 12, verse 51 to 53. Luke 12, 51 to 53. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. This is Jesus saying the same thing in this place. He said he has not come to give peace on earth. He has come to cause division. Verse 52. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. Verse 53, the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Yeah, okay, can you see that? Yeah, so let us stop looking for peace when there should never be peace. Stop trying to amend relationships that should never be amended. Relationships that should be permanently dissolved. Stop trying to revive a friendship that should remain vain, because the friendship is not bringing glory to God. Why should you want to remain in relationship with someone that is enticing you to sin against God? Someone that is luring you to do what is contrary to the will of God? Why should you maintain that kind of friendship or relationship? Some people will say, I just want to make peace. There should never be peace in that kind of relationship. Yeah, in as much as the person or the people are expecting you or requiring that you do what is contrary to the word of God, you must never make peace with such people. That is, you must never be in agreement with them. So if it demands that you block their numbers, please block their numbers such that you never, both of you never talk again. You see, yeah, I know some of you may think, oh, isn't that serious? Well, these are not my own words. This is the Bible. I'm just showing you what is in the Bible. Yeah, Jesus said he has come to cause division. So ask yourself, what is a division? Is it not separation? Yeah, so if you are going to be very much divided or detached from someone, should you still be calling that person on your phone? Should you still be greeting the person, shutting up the person? Of course not. Division is division. Detachment is detachment. Separation is separation. So there's nothing like, oh, I feel sorry for this guy. It's like, I really broke his heart. And then you feel like, oh, let me try to call him. And you know that the guy is an unbeliever, and all he's looking for is to make you sin. And then you are feeling sorry for that kind of person. It means you are not a serious Christian, or maybe you are not even a Christian. Yeah, so you don't feel sorry for people that should never be in your life, and for people that you should not be talking to. Yeah, because they don't want you to please God. So why should you want to be close to those people? It's not that you hate them. This is not hatred. This is you standing for Christ. Yeah, this is you standing for God. Yeah, so they may come around, they may greet you, you greet them back. But then let it end there. So any other thing that has to do with, can we do this together? And you know that whatever they're asking you to do together is wrong. You don't agree to those things. I hope you understand. Let us continue. Luke chapter 21, verse 16. Luke 21, verse 16. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Yeah, so Jesus has said this, and whenever it starts to happen, don't be offended and don't be surprised. Jesus has said that you shall be betrayed both by your parents brethren, that is your siblings, your brothers and sisters, and kinsfolk, that is your fellow, maybe tribesmen, people that are of the same tribe with you. Yeah, or your colleagues, and even by your friends. Jesus said they shall betray you, and they shall even cause some of us to be put to death. And so these are the things that happen during persecution. And let us also look out John chapter 7, verse 1 to 5. John 7, verse 1 to 5. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. So you can see this place also confirms what I said earlier, that the siblings of Jesus did not believe in him. So they were telling him, yeah, if you are indeed the Son of God, you're not supposed to be hiding in secret. You're supposed to show yourself to the world. Yeah, so more like they were making jest of him. Yeah, because they also did not believe in him. Yeah, so if you expect Praise the Lord. Yeah, sorry, my network suddenly went off. So let us quickly round up. As I was saying, I said the fact that Jesus said we should cut ourselves off or separate from people who don't want us to do the will of God doesn't mean that it's telling us to hate those people and not forgive them. Yeah, that's not what it means. Yeah. Because he also said it somewhere else that we should love those that persecute us. Yeah, and we should. We should even pray. We should pray for those that persecute us. Yeah. So the fact that there will be separation and division between believers and unbelievers, especially on the grounds that has to do with our faith and righteousness in Christ, doesn't mean that we should now hate the unbelievers. Yeah, it's just that we should disagree with them when they want us to do what is wrong in the sight of God. Yeah, we should disagree with them and separate from them on those grounds. But on the ground of love, we should continue to love them. And we should continue to pray for them. Yeah, I hope you get where the balance is now. Yeah. Let us look at, I think we have just one scripture left. 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, I'm coming. Let us look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 14 to 16. First Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 14 to 16. I believe you have opened your Bible to that place. First Thessalonians 2, 14 to 16. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophet, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. So you can see Apostle Paul was talking to the Thessalonians and was telling them about those Jews and Jewish leaders who have been persecuting the Church of God, starting from killing Jesus those people, they have killed the prophet in the Old Testament. It is the same generation of evil and wicked Jews. You know, it's in the blood. It's in the blood. That desire to kill God's prophet. And whoever come in the name of the Lord has always been in the blood of the Jews. Especially the Jews in Jerusalem and in Judah. So Paul was saying that these people also killed the Lord Jesus, even as they killed their own prophet, and have been persecuting the believers. And these same people are people who looked harmless and peaceful before the matters of the gospel came into the picture. That is, these are their fellow countrymen, people they considered to be friends. And brethren later turned against them to the point of killing some of them because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So what you should take note of in that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16 is that when persecution comes, even the same people that have been peaceful toward you and harmless may be the first to attack you or the first to try to kill you. Because this thing is inside their blood. It's something they have inherited from a satanic generation. Generation is according to the blood. And attitudes and behavior is also according to the blood. So there is a generation of wicked people. And that deposit is inside their blood. They are just wicked, and they just eat anything that has to do with God and God's kingdom and God's word and God's will. Now, these people, they may be born in different countries. They may not really have a family tree. They may not have a singular family tree. They may be born in different parts of the world, but the word of God considered them to be a generation. A generation of murderers of God's people, murderers of God's prophets. Yeah. So it's more like Satan injected that evil deposit into their blood, and the evil remained in their blood. Yeah. So when it comes to attacking God's people, attacking God's servants, attacking the church of God, these people will rise and they will kill, yeah, and they will destroy many lives, yeah, because it has always been in their blood. Yeah, I pray for you that no wicked person shall be able to cut short your life untimely. No wicked person shall be able to kill you before your time. In Jesus' name. So we're going to stop here. Then next week we're going to move to another subtopic. Yeah, and hopefully, maybe before the end of this month, or maybe by the end of this month, we may be through it with the topic persecution. Yeah, we may be through with this topic called persecution. I know we spent a long time. If you have questions, you can ask on the group platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this brief moment we have spent in your presence. Thank you for everything you have opened our eyes to see in your scriptures. Thank you for showing us how to behave when being persecuted. Thank you also for showing us how important it is to disconnect and disagree from those who are making efforts to pull us back from following Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And ask, oh Lord, that you help everyone here to be strong and then grow stronger in their faith, such that no form of persecution or seduction or temptation or enticement from the people of the world will be able to bring them out of their sin. In Jesus' name, I pray for you that your personal relationship with God will grow to be very strong, such that you will be willing to lay down all your life to serve and please God. In Jesus' name, I pray that your love for God will grow to the point that you'll be willing to sacrifice anything in order to please God. In Jesus' name, Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen.